Margaret, you said you stayed home that year to get ready to be married. Mm-hmm. What kinds of things did you do to get ready to be married?
Well, I had to get some hemp sheets and pillowcases, and I'll get the clothes ready. I don't remember having too many things. We had enough bedding for one bed. That was part of a wedding gift. And just helped my mother. Mm-hmm. And just, I know, I made some sheets and some pillowcases, put some fancy work on them, and things like that, but that's about all. They didn't go to, didn't have showers or anything in those days like you do now. Mm-hmm. I think of my granddaughter that's getting married the 19th with a big church wedding and all the things that she's getting with her china and her sterling and her stainless steel and this and that. How little I had when I got married. They'd have a fit, I think.
Mm-hmm. What was your wedding like?
Well, my best girlfriend and I and her boyfriend, she was married. We got up early one morning. Of course, my folks knew it. They were all in favor of it. And we took the train up to Bloomington and had the Methodist minister marry us. Came home, my mother had dinner for us that night. And that was it. We didn't have any honeymoon. 10 days later, I went with my husband's folks up to North Dakota where their farm was. It's a two-day trip on the train then. And that had to be the honeymoon with his family.
What was he like, your husband?
That time?
Uh-huh.
Oh, he was just 21, just a skinny kid that had helped his father farm. I thought I was knowing a farmer. And father had bought this farm up in North Dakota. They had farmed it in the summertime, and then they would come home in the winter, the fall. They had a big house there in Farmer City. Stay home, they'd hire somebody to take care of the stock. The horses, all they had then, during the winter months. And then they'd go back in April mm-hmm. and farm the next season and then come back. They did that every year. But after we were married, we were elected to stay up there and take care of the stock. So the first time we really ever alone was in November after we was married in March mm-hmm. when the folks went back to Illinois, and then we were left to stay up there in the wintertime. That was the first time we'd really been alone.
Was that a very different life for you?
Oh, yes, I grew up in town. Supposed to be modern then. We had hot and cold running water and bathroom and electric lights and all that. They wouldn't call them anything but just what everybody has now, but everybody didn't have them then. But up on the farm, there's no running water, no electricity, no telephones. And when we first went up there, they met us at the train. Well, we went to, we got to Grand Forks, then we changed to one of these little trains like you see on the movies, a little bitty engine. That's the kind that went up to across the Canadian line. We were 10 miles from the Canadian line, and it was 90 miles north of Grand Forks. Mm-hmm. And I made one trip up there and turn around and come back. It was one trip a day. And we got off at this little station named Baku, and the station had two general stores, three elevators, one church, a schoolhouse about a quarter of a mile south of there, and about half a dozen houses. That was Baku. Mm-hmm. Well, they met us with this wagon for our trunks, and we went out. It was, the roads were breaking up. It was in April, and the ground had been frozen. It was breaking up, and the roads were impassable. So we went up across just across the country, and they'd come to ditches that's full of water. Well, they didn't, nobody bothered to explain how deep those ditches were. I didn't know the 6 inches or 6 feet, and I was absolutely petrified. Go down there and up and across, it was 3 miles. They didn't know, and I kept facing north because I didn't want to get turned around. I get turned around so easily that if it seems like I'm going north, I'm usually going south. So, we got up there. It was quite an experience going across the country. And we were there about 2 years before we had telephones. And then the farmers put in the telephone, put up the poles. And we had two lines out of Baku. One went south and one went north. And There's one family there that they had a general store, but they had the telephone office in their house. And there were about 10 people on each line, and each one had their ring. Anybody rang, everybody click, 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 click. And then in the wintertime, when it was storming, they couldn't get out. They had a daughter, just about the age of us. She'd open up the lines, put the telephone together, and the kids would all get on there and talk back and forth. So I saw the telephone, and then by the time we left, the place was fenced and all began to look civilized, but it really looked like it was out west.
What did it feel like driving up that first day? Do you remember that?
I was scared, really, because I wasn't used to being in a wagon and going in cross country like that, and they seeing these ditches and going down, and most of them were about 3 feet deep and up. But nobody bothered to tell me how deep they were, and I didn't know. I was really scared, but I didn't want to let them know it. It was laughable afterwards, but it wasn't so funny at that time.
Did you like being up there on the farm?
Liked it very much. It was really cold in the wintertime, 40 and 50 below, but it wasn't any colder. Didn't notice the cold any more than you did in Illinois. It was damp. Mm-hmm. It was a dry cold. When it snowed, it packed tight, and you just went over the top of it. Mm-hmm. One year, the house was, like, say, here, and the driveway was fenced. 2 acres there was fenced with a garden and what have you, but the driveway would come in here, in and out like that. And one year, the gates were closed, and it snowed, and you couldn't open the gates. And those gates were closed all winter, and the snow packed, and we drove right over the top of the gates. It just had, you know, solid.
Yeah.
And when it kept snowing and snowing, why, we just went right over the top. And they would, in the wintertime, the houses, to keep them warm, they would bank them, as they called it. They would usually would be dried grass and maybe horse manure stuff, you know, around, bank it up, clear up, the foundations were high, clear up to there, up to the windows practically, and pack it down tight. So when it snowed, that kept the heat in and make the houses warmer. Mm. Then in the spring, they had to take all that away.
What was the house like? Can you describe it for me?
And that was the bedroom. Arlene and Jean were both born in that room. This was the kitchen, and there was a bedroom here and a bedroom here, and a hall and a bedroom on the other side. Mm-hmm. And when Lewis's folks stayed with us, they had the downstairs bedroom. We had this one up here. And the hired man usually had that one.
Mm-hmm. It looks like there's a back porch.
Yeah, there's a back porch built on. We called it our summer kitchen. This is the front porch.
Yeah.
See the kind of cars they had then? And of course, you know what that was.
That looks like the outhouse.
That was the outhouse. In the wintertime, you went out there just once a day. It was too cold. You had to put overshoes on and wrap up like you're going to the North Pole. Now, I always say that's my honeymoon cottage.
Mm-hmm.
And they never did get around painting this side of it. But that's what it looked like. The prairie, no trees around. There was a few trees that, back here that my father-in-law had planted that finally grew up pretty good size. Well, now all that country has electricity now. When Roosevelt came in, he electrified all the farms. Mm-hmm. And they have electricity, and I imagine that's been built over till it's a nice home now. But that's what it looked like at that time. Mm-hmm. And I spent 5 years there.
What did you do when you lived there? I mean, did you work outside and work in the farm, or did you just work in the house?
I worked in the house, and I raised chickens. I got a little picture of that, too. Here on the wall, turkey. Yeah. My husband operated the tractor, and his brother had to take care of horses. That was my chickens. And that was a big straw stack. Now, that's 2 miles away. That's McFadden's place.
Hmm.
Down there. And that was the kind of a tractor we used in those days. And it was always windy. You had to have your head covered up when you went outside. Of course, I had long hair then. And a couple times when there was a short of help, I think I drove the hay rake once or twice and helped them rake the hay up. And I know that one time when they were thrashing, I knew how to milk. My dad had taught me how to milk. We always had cows. I had two cows in town. And I had to milk once in a while. I knew how to milk. And I rounded up the cows and I milked all of them except one when they came in. And she was so big, I couldn't even get my hands around her. I couldn't milk her. But I had all, they didn't want me to do it. I just did it because to show them I could. Mm. No, the women worked in the house, but they did an awful lot of cooking, baked bread every other day. I had to learn how to bake bread. My father-in-law had a pan made that just fit the oven. And we used to bake bread every other day, 6 big loaves of bread in that. And I had to learn how to do that. And in the First World War, there was a shortage on wheat and things like that, but we had our own wheat. We grew it. And they'd take it to the mill and have it ground. And I remember one time we had 10 100-pound sacks upstairs, and we weren't supposed to have it. But we were supposed to use so much other kind of flour and oatmeal and everything to fill in, that we'd buy that and then we'd feed the chickens. Mm-hmm. Because we tried to make rye bread and other kind, and it wasn't fit to eat. We didn't know how. Mm-hmm. But then we had our own home canning to do from the garden. I had to learn how to do a lot of things. I didn't know much about cooking when I was first married. But I learned from my sister-in-law.
Now they came up as well and lived there?
Yes, in April we went up there the first time with my husband's sister Hazel and his father and his brother Art and myself, 5. Well then the next year, younger sister, who was just 15 months younger than I am, was up there. She graduated from high school by that time. And she came up, there's 2 of the girls. And Mother Hoffman came up a couple of summers. She usually stayed down in Illinois. She had, years ago, had typhoid and was never well after that. And she couldn't do much hard work at all. So the 2 sisters, both Hazel, an older sister, most of it, and I had to learn how to. And well, just help with things that I had to do around there.
What other kinds of effects did World War I have on your life then?
Well, World War I was up there all the time.
Right.
The day where the war was declared, April 6th, was the day we landed in North Dakota. And I was we stayed up that next winter, and we came home. We were coming home on the train, and stopped at Grafton, and Paperboy got on, extra, peace was settled, you know, about all that. Well, it was a false alarm at first. And by the time we got home, why, it had, it really was over. Mm-hmm. We got home in time for the celebration of that little town. They had a dummy stuffed with straw that they drug up and down Main Street, and then they hung it up. The livery stable across the street from us. They hung him on the livery stable in the doorway, and they had a big ceremony, and people just went crazy. Mm-hmm. You know, war was over. And so we were up there, mm-hmm. all of World War I. Well, my husband and his brother, they were excused from the draft right at first. My husband, my father-in-law, he had a section of land, mm-hmm. and he rented another section and a half. He's growing wheat. And that made the boys had to help him. Mm-hmm. And besides the hired men we had to take care of that. And then I was expecting a baby, and Lewis got excused because of that. Mm-hmm. And then the next year, well, the baby was born dead, so that he didn't have that excuse anymore. He was an 8-month baby. And then the next September, Art was drafted. And he got as far as Fargo, and he took the flu. That's when they had the flu so badly, people died like flies. You know, the boy across the street from us started to go down to across the road to visit his folks in Minnesota, and perfectly well, and they got on the train, they took him off dead. Mm-hmm. They just take him like that. And another people that was close to us, the hired man, think the two of them died while they were there. They were just transient workers that had come up to work, you know.
What year was that?
That was 1918. And my husband was supposed to go in November, the draft. And I was gone. I was sick there. I never did get any farther than Fargo. And before the next draft was called, why, peace was declared. Mm-hmm. He didn't have to go. But he came just that near. Mm-hmm. So he never was in the war at all. But in the Second World War, all three of my son-in-laws were in it.
I asked you about your mother being involved or aware of the suffrage movement. What about you? Were you ever aware that it was happening or mm-mm. it was ever talked about?
No. Just something was... Well, I know the newspapers most days, I didn't read them too much. I was busy doing other things, but just never anything that like that ever came up. Just wasn't interesting. Mm-hmm. All I was just anxious to be a good wife. You don't have a family to take care of us. No, that was about it.
You said the first two girls were born up in South Dakota,
mm-hmm.
North Dakota.
Mm-hmm.
How soon after you lost the first baby, then did you have Arlene?
2 years. Well, the first baby was born on my 20th birthday. And that's March the 30th. And 2 years later, and on March the 6th, April the 16th. 2 years and about 50 a month. Where Arlene was born.
Who attended that birth? What
was
it
about? Old country doctor up there. I don't even remember his name now. But I do remember when Arlene, before she was born, she was expected in March, about the middle of March. And about that time, there was a big blizzard hit. And Lewis's folks were up there. And my mother-in-law was so afraid that that baby would come that she put me to bed and made me stay there. I was feeling fine, but I had to go to bed and stay there. So that storm was over because the doctor couldn't have come out.
Mm-hmm.
You couldn't see the garden fence was about as far as that, the front of that porch.
Mm-hmm.
You couldn't even see that. For hours at a time it was blowing so hard and snowing. And then when finally did come, the doctor we had contacted. Of course, in those days, I think I saw him once before time. He wasn't home, and we had to get a doctor we didn't know of, so we had to go to another town, Bathgate. The doctor we wanted was in Cavalier, North Dakota, which, by the way, was the county seat and had 900 population. And Bathgate was smaller, and this doctor, he came out. He was got within 2 miles of us, and the big snow drifts, he couldn't get his car through, that old Model T Ford. So he got out and walked the rest of the way, and he fell down two or three times, and he come in, he was all cut, and his hands bruised, and it was about time he got there, it was about 9 o'clock at night. And so he had educated himself to be a medical missionary, and he was a very precise old gentleman with long white hair down to his shoulders. Very kindly faced.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, he wouldn't come into the bedroom until he was formally introduced. Can you imagine that? And he came over and he examined me. He said, well, we might as well go to bed. This little lady won't be showing anything until tomorrow, about dinner time. I said, that's great. So they all went to bed. Arlene was born about 10:20 the next morning. He knew before what he talked about.
Mm-hmm. How did you feel during your pregnancy?
Well, I felt pretty good this time. I guess the first time I was sick, that morning sickness so bad. Well, I was with Arlene, too, for about 4 months. But when Jean came along, I never was sick a minute with her.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I didn't even know I was pregnant until about 4.5 months. But, no, I felt pretty good, except, now wait a minute, I had to stay home, that's right. The mode of travel that they had up there in the winter time was, they had what they called jumpers. You know what that is?
No.
Well, they'd take the buggy bed off of the wheels, and they had straight runners, and they put it on that. was like a sled. Mm-hmm. And the road, there'd be drifts across to get back so high. Just, that would go up and get about a little over halfway up that and jump down. Bump, jump, mm-hmm. like that. I didn't dare travel then. I think I tried it once and I found out I couldn't do it. I mean, I had cramps.
Mm-hmm.
So from, I think, November till after Eileen was born, I never was off the farm because I didn't want to travel.
Mm-hmm.
But other than that, I just knew I couldn't do that. While I stayed home, I felt pretty good. But, you know, we didn't have radio in those days or anything. We used to play a lot of Rook. My father-in-law and mother-in-law didn't believe in cards.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I never knew one playing card or the other. I came to California. My mother wouldn't allow a deck of cards in the house. We played Rook and Flinch. That was all right.
How do you play those? Do you use cards?
Yes, they're card games. They're special games. Special mm-hmm. cards. Flinch cards and Rook cards. Mm-hmm. I think I still have a set of Rook. But this can't see a difference much. You can 500 and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
But with playing cards, they just didn't think it right.
Mm-hmm.
Just didn't allow them. But we used to, summer, and my sister-in-law played the piano. We used to play. Oh, yes, in North Dakota, we had community clubs. Everybody would get together. They had one at Back Coo, and 2 miles east of us was the Tyner School. And they alternated, 1 week at Tyner and 1 week at Back Coo, and everybody would go, and you had your own program. I mean, they'd have somebody who's having a program, maybe it'd be a little home talent play,
mm-hmm.
and maybe be singing, or somebody making a talk, or recite a verse or something. It had it all planned ahead of time, you know. They'd sing, and then they usually had cakes and coffee. There's those schoolhouses. It had a little kitchenette where they could heat it with coffee, you know, and they'd have refreshments. And then they'd push the chairs back, and they'd folk dance, as they called it. All everybody, you know. I didn't participate because, I was an old married woman. Just the young folks did that.
But did you go?
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm.
My husband was the president of the one down back, too. And we used to go in the bobsled. We'd put hay in the bottom of it and heat up bricks and put a blanket over the top. We had one fur coat for the men. And whoever did the driving had to stand up and got to wear the fur coat. The others were down under the blanket. Oh, we used to have great times. Arlene used to go down. She's baby then. Take her and take her bottle and warm it up. She got sleepy, put her back on a pile of coats in the side of the room. She'd sleep. And, yeah, we used to go to them all the time. And sometimes they have quartets that would sing, just whatever anyone could do, you know. They'd make their own program. So that went on, and sometimes they'd be parties at different houses that they'd go, and there's always 3 or 4 or 5 men go in the kitchen and play cards, which some of the older folks thought was awful. The rest of them would sit around and talk, and have refreshments, and long about 10, 11 o'clock, go home. Just get-togethers, you know, which was kind of fun.
Did you go to church up there?
Oh, yes. At a church, it was at Back Coo, and it was Presbyterian, I guess. In fact, I went just for quite a while, didn't know it was Presbyterian. Their services were so much like the Methodists. And their church service was in the afternoon, about 1:30, something like that. And they have a pretty good congregation coming from all over the country. I expect they'd have 50 or 100 there, which was big for that part of the country then. And in the summer they had picnics down at the Camp Comfort, they called it, sort of a little ravine along a little river there. And it's like potluck, you know, everybody picks something.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they did a lot of things together, just like, well, just sort of, like, reminds me of what you see on the television Day of Pioneer Days. Mm-hmm. Only we didn't think of it as Pioneer Days.
And when was Jean born?
She was born 16 months after Arlene. So just 16 months and 9 days between them. And she lives in Riverside now.
Was your pregnancy with her different than it had been with Arlene at the delivery?
Yes, it was. It was much easier. Mm-hmm. I didn't have to stay home with her. Mm-hmm. And there was a woman down in Baku, in fact, that there's the one that had one of the general stores, and the one that, whose house had the telephone office in. She would go around, anybody had a baby, she always went around and helped the doctor. Mm-hmm. And she never had a cent for it. And she was with me all three times up there, just the person we lost. But in fact, she asked me one day at Ladies' Aid, they had Ladies' Aid up there, the whole family went. You not only prepared for the people, the women went, you prepared for the whole family. They all come in and had lunch.
It was a preparation for childbirth?
Huh?
A preparation?
No, that is when they had Ladies' Aid up. But I say that she went around to the different places with mm-hmm. the doctor. And she said that she was my second mother. But what I started to say was, one time at Ladies' Aid, she says, are you going to be meeting me one of these days? I said, no, not that I know of. She said, well, I thought maybe you would. I didn't know it. And it wasn't very long until I realized it. I would be meeting her.
That was with Arlene?
That was with Peggy. It was Jean.
Oh, Jean.
Yeah.
Now, what is Ladies' Aid?
That was the women of the church that got together and quilted. Mm. And it was an all-day affair. And you had Ladies' Aid, they came in the morning, and the women did, and they quilted. And the man either came and stayed around the barn or came back later. And if there's any children in school, they brought them over. And you ended up with having quite a few to feed. And it wasn't just taking coffee. Mm. It was a whole two-course luncheon that you gave them. It was quite a thing to get ready for them all by yourself.
How often did you have those?
Oh, I don't think I ever did it but twice when I was up there.
But it rotated them?
Yes, it rotated around different people's homes.
How often?
It's about once a month. Mm-hmm. If they go. So they like to get together. Like here in Pomona, I belong to the what they call a so-and-so club, which is originally a Sunday young married people Sunday school class of the late 20s and early 30s of a church down in the south part of Pomona that went broke during the Depression. I guess years ago there was one church that split in about four different ways and four churches sprang up. Well, this was the poor church. And but this class stuck together, and they had formed a club where the women meet every once a month, and they make quilting, or you do your bring whatever you want to work on, and then during the summer and at Christmas and Thanksgiving, during the summer, be in the park or somebody's patio, the men would come and just have potluck, but now. After all these years, there were 50 years that's been going on. Mm-hmm. There's not too many men left, but it still meets once a month. And I was to it a couple of weeks ago, and there was 18 women. And most of them are widows now, but it's still sticking together. Isn't that something?
That's wonderful.
It is. And for a good many years, there was no divorces and no death. Mm-hmm. Just the whole gang. There used to be, there was about 18 to 20 couples. Mm. But they just gradually died off.
Mm. Now you say you stayed in North Dakota 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
What made you decide to move?
Well, we just decided that by that time Art was there, and he wanted to get married, and the farm just wouldn't support too many people, and we were very unhappy. We'd been working for our room and board, and, for our room, we had the house, and Father Huffman took care of it. He paid for our groceries, but we had very little money besides that. We were just helping him.